I'm Richard Reed with 73 Farms in Carthage, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
As spring planting time draws near, how are planting decisions shaping up in the Texas Panhandle? I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
Farm organizations are asking the Biden administration to allow E15 use in the summer. I'm Jessica Domel, and I'll have that story coming up on Texas Ag Today.
Buyers of rural Texas land have a number of options to choose from when it comes to their internet provider, but they should understand the amount and speed of the data that they'll be receiving. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have more in my report on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Carrie Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. The outlook is bright for Texas cow-calf producers. That was the message from Cattle Facts CEO Randy Block at the recent Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association's convention in Fort Worth. Block says that segment of the industry needs to make some profits to make up for a long string of bad years.
You know, it's been a long time. You got to go all the way back since 2015 since these cow-calf producers really made any money. We made a little bit of money last fall, but I mean, it's been a grinder for these folks, and I mean, they need a run in here. They need a run. They need to make a run of 3 to 4 years of some significant profitability to where they can retire some debt that's accumulated and get some confidence that they can reinvest in these herds.
Reinvesting in those herds means retaining heifers and buying replacements, but that isn't going to happen quickly.
I think we're going to see a very slow, prolonged cycle here where we won't see the expansion occur at anywhere near as fast a pace as the last cycle.
Block says it's important to protect the value-added programs we have that reward producers for high-quality cattle. The recent cases of highly pathogenic avian influenza in dairy cattle in Texas and Kansas are not the only instances of the bird flu crossing into mammals.
According to USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, a striped skunk in Carson County, east of Amarillo, tested positive for HPAI in March of last year. APHIS has been tracking cases of HPAI in wild birds and mammals for at least 2 years now. To date, HPAI has been found in American black bears, bobcats, a bottlenose dolphin, coyotes, fishers, seals, grizzly bears, red foxes, skunks, and Virginia opossums. APHIS says it is not uncommon to find avian influenza in wild birds as viruses circulate freely in those populations without appearing sick. Unlike wild birds, HPAI may lead to death in chickens and other poultry. USDA said there is no evidence at this time that HPAI is spreading mammal to mammal, and risk to the public remains low. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Corn planting nearing the halfway mark here in Texas. The latest Texas Crop Progress and Condition Report showing 46% of the Texas corn crop now in the ground. 37% of the sorghum is planted, and 20% of the Texas rice crop now planted. Spring planting is getting close in the Texas Panhandle. James Hunt looks at how planting decisions there are shaping up.
We're still about 3, 4, maybe 5 weeks away before we see spring planting really get going around our region, but what's the thinking of area farmers on what to plant? I asked Texas A&M AgriLife agronomist Jordan Bell.
Well, I'm still hearing a lot of producers talk about sorghum, whether it's grain sorghum or forage sorghum. As I have visited with producers about other crop options, many of them are putting on the brakes a little bit with regards to cotton, and a lot of that is because of input costs. And that's really driving some of those decisions with regards to cotton. Of course, as we look at our price point, they're always looking at those markets. But unfortunately, input costs have remained high, especially with regards to cotton, both seed cost as well as chemical costs. And so that's really been a significant consideration for producers. As we look at corn, water has been our greatest limitation, not just for corn production, but with regards to producers' decisions about how much corn to plant. Now, with corn, many producers will go ahead and plant it, possibly for grain, but if there's not timely in-season precipitation, then they'll opt to harvest it as a forage crop. So they still do have some flexibility with that. But just as we look at well capacities declining and producers trying to evaluate, should they concentrate water? Should they spread it thin? What should they do? That's where many producers have stepped back and decided that forage sorghum really has a good fit on those acres.
We'll hear more from Dr. Bell in our next report. But before we close, here's some advice she has for our forage sorghum growers. If you haven't already secured your seed, do so quickly, as supplies have gotten very tight. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Farm organizations are asking the EPA to allow E15 use in the summer. Jessica Domel has the story.
A group of agricultural organizations is urging EPA Administrator Michael Reagan to swiftly grant a waiver that would allow summertime E15 sales and offset disruptions in the global energy markets. Joe Gilson, American Farm Bureau Federation Government Affairs Director, says the waiver helps provide consumers relief at the pump.
President Biden's administration has used this emergency authority before in 2022 and 2023 to help lower gas prices, and we're urging him to do that again.
EPA granted Midwestern states a permanent waiver, but that does not take effect until 2025.
And so that's why we need this emergency authority granted, so that we can continue to give consumers that choice at the pump. And when they have that choice, you know, they can save up to 10 to 30 cents a gallon when they choose E15.
The coalition includes the American Farm Bureau Federation, Growth Energy, the Renewable Fuels Association, National Corn Growers Association, National Farmers Union, and National Sorghum Producers. Gilson encouraged farmers to seek support for year-round E15.
To the extent that we can replace some of the instability on the global market with homegrown ethanol that's supporting America's farmers, we want to do that. And so if you're interested, contact your member of Congress, let them know that this is important and that we need to urge everyone in the Biden administration to support this request to grant E15 year-round.
That was Joe Gilson from the American Farm Bureau Federation. According to the American Farm Bureau Federation, if consumers have the E15 choice, they can save 10 to 30 cents a gallon with E15. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
There are some internet access options to consider when purchasing rural Texas land. Tom Nicoletti checks in with a Texas land broker for advice.
Tyler Jacobs, partner broker with Hall & Hall Land Company, joins me again today. Tyler, explain another internet option for rural land buyers, and that is 5G or 4G receivers.
So your cell phone providers, sometimes they offer it, sometimes they don't, but it is actually a fixed-mounted receiver on your home that is sold to you by your cell phone provider. 5G service is obviously better than 4G service, but even 4G service can be relatively high performing in a rural setting.
The amount of data to purchase versus the speed of the data to buy are two different things.
Absolutely. And so when you're evaluating these providers, you want to understand whether or not they have a data cap monthly. For some of these, the penalty of going over that data cap is very harsh. Sometimes you hit that cap and it's a slowdown versus the speed at which that data comes to you is very important too, because that affects things like streaming and downloads and uploads as well. And you want to investigate both of those topics. Actual data amount allocated to your account versus the speed at which that data comes and goes.
Another option that's available to rural land buyers is Viasat.
That is a satellite dish mounted on your roof or pole or something outside your house, and it goes to a satellite upload and download. The download is faster. The upload is slower. It seems to be rather spotty on weather, but that is generally available in every market, and that's the good thing about it.
That is Tyler Jacobs with Hall & Hall Land Company in College Station. I'm Tom Nicoletti at the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We have sunshine and growing corn in the Central Texas Blacklands. This is Dr. Shane McClellan, and I'll have more from Waco.
And we're in the middle of kidding and lambing season. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has some tips on that coming up.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Go to TexasFarmBureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to TexasFarmBureau.org to donate.
Keeping Texas farmers and ranchers informed for over two decades. This is Texas Ag Today on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
The sun is shining and corn is growing in the Central Texas Blacklands. Dr. Shane McClellan has an update from Waco.
A lot of forecasts for storms and rain in the Central Texas Blacklands resulted in a few overcast, drizzly days for us recently. The mild weather we have been experiencing has really been favorable for the emergence of our newly planted corn crop. As you travel across our Blackland area, the fields of corn are rolling very nicely. We have had some cooler mornings lately, but most days have had plenty of sunshine. These warm, sunny days have allowed our soil to bank some heat. Our soil temperature at a depth of 4 inches has not been below 60 degrees Fahrenheit since March 1st. On March 18th, our 5-day average was 67.6 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, why is that important? Well, this soil temperature, it matches our warm season plant green up, as we have the emergence of many warm season grasses and weeds. Many of our trees are putting on leaves and blooms. That's not to say that we won't have a cold snap sometime in the future. But our current environment is very warm. Our wheat and oat fields look very good. They both could use a good soaking rain. We have had some measurable rainfall across Central Texas, but many in our area have only received a mist or a sprinkle. Most of our wheat has gone through the joining growth stage, and we do have some stripe and leaf rust in our wheat. A nice timely rain could increase disease and insect pressure in our small grains, but we're definitely going to need a rain between now and harvest. Livestock are spending more time out in pastures, not hanging around the hay feeders as much as they were. We do see some warm season forages emerging, but a nice soaking rain would help speed up that green up process for livestock producers and offer more grazing out in our livestock pastures.
So Dr. Shane McClellan from Waco with Texas Ag Today.
We are in the middle of kidding and lambing season. Dr. Bob Judd has some tips to help things go smoothly.
Kidding and lambing season is here, and today I'm providing some tips in the Shepherd publication from Dr. Michael Metzger at Michigan State Extension. Hopefully all ewes and does have received their Clostridium C&D boosters and tetanus toxoid 4 to 6 weeks before they are due to deliver. Depending on your area, selenium and vitamin E injections may be required unless selenium is in the feed or mineral. It is important to closely monitor the feeding program of ewes and does in the last trimester because as the fetus grows, nutritional demands increase, and it can be difficult to meet these demands as the animals cannot eat as much at one time due to the large size of the fetus. For this reason, feeding high-quality hay and an energy-dense supplement like corn is usually required to prevent ketosis and pregnancy toxemia. When preparing for delivery of the newborns, it is important to have towels for drying the newborns, a solution of chlorhexidine to apply to the umbilical area, disposable obstetrical gloves for assisting in delivery, lots of obstetrical lubricant, and a source of warm, soapy water to prepare the animal for the exam. You should also have a stomach tube to feed the babies that will not nurse, as they may not get adequate colostrum for immunity within the first 4 hours after birth. Be sure and have your veterinarian instruct you how to pass the stomach tube to make sure you are in the esophagus and not the trachea. Make sure you have well-bedded, clean pens for kitting and lambing. As with all animals, assisting in the birthing process is okay, but be gentle and know when to stop and call your veterinarian before damage to the soft tissue occurs, as swelling can make a normal delivery impossible and a C-section may be required. I'm veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd. This is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
Catastrophic wildfires have scorched over 1 million acres in the Texas Panhandle. Homes, barns, fences, and livestock have been lost. You can help farmers and ranchers who have been affected by these fires by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. 100% of all donations received go directly to farmers and ranchers impacted by these fires. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page.
Here's the latest market information on Texas Ag Today.
All of our agricultural markets were closed on Friday thanks to the Good Friday holiday. So we'll take a look back at how the markets wrapped up the week on Thursday. Cattle futures traded both sides of unchanged throughout Thursday's trading session. However, on the close, we ended up higher, with April live cattle up $1.40, 185 even, June up $1.57, 180.25, August live cattle up $1.52 at 178.20. Feeder cattle finished higher, April feeders up 25 cents, 247.12, May feeder cattle up 42 at 248.70. Cash-fed cattle sales topping out so far this week at 186 here in the Southern Plains. That's $2 under last week. In the north, we're seeing live sales at 188 to 189, dress sales at 298 so far this week. Boxed beef was mixed choice, down 28 cents, 308.30. Select up 268 at 301.11. Now let's check the auction barns. Let's walk those pens with Larry Marble.
Doug Bass and his family own and operate Cattlemen's Columbus. Doug, how was your sale there in Columbus on Wednesday?
We ended up sitting for 58 head of cattle and...
Walk the pens with us, Doug.
Yes, sir. On your Packer cows and bulls, your thinner, lower yielding cows bring 98, 110. Medium flesh cows, 112 to 124. Higher yielding cows bring 126 to 141. Lower yielding bulls, 115 to 129. Better high yielding bulls, 134 to 164. We had a heck of a good set of pairs there yesterday. Your better end pairs bring 2,500 to 3,800. Medium type pairs bring 1,150 to 2,100. Bred cows, better bred cows bring 1,800 to 2,200. Medium type breds bring 1,350 to 1,600.
So you had a good, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. Calf market looked really good too. Tell you what, I called it higher. It was darn sure good market yesterday. 2 to 3 weight steers, 310 to 430. Heifers, $3 to 415. 3 to 4 weight steers 290 to 425, heifers 270 to 377, 4 to 5 weight steers 275 to 390, heifers 260 to 320, 5 to 6 weight steers 240 to 310, heifers 231 to 285, 7 to 8 weight steers 198 to 60, heifers $2 to 231, and your 800 to 1,000 pound steers are bulls 185 to 246. Heifer, it's 168 to 212.
Are you aware of anything for next week, Doug?
We're working on some cattle. We might have a little sellout deal next week. I'll let you know. But we're going to gather some cattle for a man right now. It's going to send quite a few, but we'll be in touch.
Tell everybody how to get a hold of you for that next sale there in Columbus, Doug Bass.
Yes, sir. My sale is 979-877-4454, or the office 979-732-2622.
Doug, we appreciate the call. Neighbor, we appreciate you stopping in and listening to Walk in the Pens on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. I'm Larry Marble. Good day to you.
Thanks, Larry. Back over to the futures market now, where lean hogs finished higher. April hogs up 52 cents, 86.62. May up 10 at 92.50. Class 3 milk was lower. Nearby March down 7 cents, 16.34 a hundredweight, with April milk down 8, 15.56 a hundred. Cotton finished slightly higher. USDA released the planting intentions report on Thursday morning. Cotton acreage coming in at 10.7 million acres. That was less than expected. In fact, the average trade guess was 10.95 million. We also had a decent export sales report Thursday morning. Two positive factors for the market, but the market didn't really react very strongly to that. May cotton was up 61 points, 91.38. July up 53, 91.97, with new crop December up 65 points, 83.99. Now, corn did react strongly to the report. USDA calling for 90 million acres to be planted this year. That's less than expected and well down from last year's 94.6 million acres. Corn taking a double-digit leap on that news. May corn up 15.25, 4.42 a bushel. July corn up 15.25, 4.54 and a half, with September up 16 cents, 4.64 and a half. Wheat closing higher in both hard and soft wheat. May Kansas City wheat up 7, 5.85 and a quarter. New crop July up 5.75, 5.79 and three quarters. Soft wheat in Chicago, July contract up 13 cents, 5.75 and three quarters. In the energy markets, May natural gas was up 3 cents at $1.74. May West Texas crude up $1.62, $82.97 a barrel. The financial markets were mixed Thursday afternoon. The Dow up 81 points, 39,841. The NASDAQ down 7, 16,342, with the S&P up 8, 5,257. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A. Texas Agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.